Hey, everybody, here we go. This is the last show of 2020, and I get to call you guys. It's a special episode. I'm going to call as many of you as I can. So many of you left nice messages. It's Bob. The show's called Bob Saget's Here For You. I always have trouble saying my name in the title. I guess I have humility. What's that? I don't know. It's something I'm going to work on in 2021. So we're about to be there. And you're probably going to hear this in 2021 if you waited a day since it dropped. It's not like it comes out or it premieres or it airs. It's a podcast, so it drops. That's what happened with The Ball tonight, right? Tonight the balls drop. Oh, wait a minute. That's me at night because I'm 64. What the hey? Anyway, this is Bob Saget's Here For You, and what you want to do, of course, is my business to tell you is to subscribe and then listen to it or download it, or you can follow and listen, depending on where you get your podcasts. And I'd say Apple, you know, that's an easy go-to. I also have, of course, the YouTube page, and of course, Spotify exists, and so I'm on there. This is going to be you guys. This is going to be people that I'm calling, see how they're doing. I got your messages. My producer and I went through them. And we're going to talk to people. The other thing you want to do is rate and review it. But, you know, I'm not big on that. But, I mean, I'm supposed to tell you to do it. And then do whatever my sponsors say. This should be a long episode because I'm really lonely. It's the end of the year. So I hope you got through 2020 okay. Holy shit, we're here. And 2021, it has to get better. Let's just hope that no odd wrenches get thrown into the machine of life. What a great metaphor, Bob. Don't be a poet. All right, I'm going to call my first person. I hope she answers. Her name is Allison.
Hello.
Hi, Allison. Bob Saget here. How are you?
I am good. How are you?
I'm good. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to hear from you as well. I'm surprised to hear from you.
Oh, well, you left a nice message, so how can I not respond? So
it's surprising and surreal, and it's great to hear your voice.
Well, thank you. Same here. Well, you left a really sweet message, and you had a bunch you wanted to talk about, and I'm having brief conversations with as many people as I can, because this is out. Today is December 31st, the day that it came out. So we are, it's the new year tonight. So here we go. So now 2020 is ending, and my question for everybody is thematic, as you know, which is, what was it about 2020 that was possibly good? And if there's anything, and what is it about 2021 that you look forward to? It's kind of
The best part for me has just been hanging out with my cat and just working from home. That's kind of nice at the house that extra time.
What kind of work? What kind of work do you do?
I work in graphic design and sports marketing. Even that has been pretty slow this year with not a whole lot of sports going on, but yeah.
But you've been able to keep working, which is great.
Yeah, I have been working. Some of my colleagues have been furloughed, but I thankfully still have a job and all of that kind of stuff. So that's been very nice.
Right. So you're one of the lucky ones like myself. You're able to keep doing it. Where are you? What city?
I'm in Chicago.
My favorite town. My wife's there right now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So what, would it be different? Would you have been in 2020? Would you have been in an office rather than home?
Yeah. I mean, I would have been in an office. I've been in an office like one day a week now, the past couple months, and just seeing people. Then I volunteered in the animal shelter, and I usually do that like 3 or 4 days a week, but that's been cut back a ton. Just again, you can't have that many people in one place. So everything is virtual and just phone calls and emails rather than doing everything in person.
And who's taking care of the animals? They just have a select few people?
Yeah, so it's just cut back and just we are calling people now and saying, you applied for a cat. This cat is available. Do you want this cat? And just doing it that way rather than taking them in to meet the cat and that kind of thing. It just, everything's been changed on how things are working.
Right. It's kind of like ordering in food, except you don't eat that. That's your new friend.
Yeah, I guess it's similar to that. Yeah.
So 2020, you were able to spend time with your cat. What's your cat's name?
I have three cats. It's Hoff, like Hasselhoff, Benny, and Miles. His shelter name was Hasselhoff, so they kept it as Hoff. And then Benny and Miles.
That's so cute. I'm allergic to cats. I can barely talk to you on the phone. I my whole throat closed. You know people that are allergic, they can't come over?
Yeah, my mom is actually allergic. I mean, she has it under control enough that just takes some medication and that kind of thing, but it's still, my mom is allergic, so I grew up without cats, and then I moved here, and having cats is a lot easier than dogs, so I've just become a cat person.
Yeah, it depends. I had a dog that just laid there, so that was fun. And then we realized we should have walked him. So, and Allison, what do you look? I'm not listening to you. It's just that I'm trying to get as many people in as I can, and I don't want to diminish our conversation because you're a doll. What are you looking forward to in 2021? Because we all have to look forward and somehow be positive and not think the whole world and our country's gone down the tubes. We just can't think even though some people feel it. We have to honor that, I guess, and help them through it, or I don't know. But what are you hoping for?
I would just like to go to a concert or see a comedian or just some kind of live event would be nice. I mean, the streaming stuff is cool, but it's not the same, and just to be in a room full of people laughing and enjoying things.
Yeah.
That is all I really want.
I think we want kind of the same thing, because I'm planning to tour as soon as it's safe, and I'm planning to shoot my next special in Chicago. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Nice. So I'm really looking forward to that as we become people again.
Exactly.
Well, it's been a hell of a year, and I just thank you for calling, and I wish happy New Year. Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Thank you. Say hi to all three of your cats for me.
I will. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Well, she's sweet. And that's a nice way to start off this podcast of seeing how people are doing. All right. I'm going to call somebody now that I actually met at a distance. It was on a show called I Can See Your Voice. And they left a message, and I can't wait to see if I can get a hold of them right now. I Can See Your Voice is the show on Fox that Ken Jeong hosts.
Hello.
Hello. This is Bob Saget.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Now, tell me your full name again, because I on the recording it was hard.
Julian Mendoza.
Julian. So nice to... We didn't really get to talk to each other because we were socially distanced on I Can See Your Voice, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you were amazing. I believe I knew you could sing. Was that correct? Was I right or wrong? Do you remember?
You thought I couldn't sing for a good while.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. That's my worst moment of 2020.
No worries, man.
And that's a great show, and you were absolutely fantastic on it. Was that one of your highlights of 2020? Because this is our big end of 2020, you know, literally the 31st right now, going into 2021.
Oh, yeah.
Was that a highlight?
It was the best moment of the year, because I just graduated from Arizona State University, you know. I just got my degree in musical theater, and I was going to go to New York and move and start auditioning, but things took a change, and I was looking for some gigs, and that popped up, and it was the highlight of the year.
That's how I showed up there. But they called, and I'm kind of, if Joel McHale can't make it, they call me.
Oh, no.
So
I'm happy it was you.
Well, no, he loves himself, and I love him more, so it's like he's a special dude. But about you, you're so talented, and I could see you doing Broadway and doing musical theater. I mean, in the Night outfit, I could see you in, you know, Spamalot. You're all set to go, you know, or something.
I love Spamalot.
Something Rotten is another show that was really great. But so what were the other positive things that came out of 2020 for you?
Another positive thing turned out to be my friend group, you know. I had some friends at school, you know, but after I graduated, I became really good friends with my roommate, like high school best friend, because my roommate moved back to New Jersey because we were in New York during spring break. And that's when all the COVID stuff happened. And so he decided to stay in New Jersey. So I decided to befriend his best friend. And, you know, it couldn't work out any better. He is my best friend now. And his name is Vance. And he just introduced me to all his friends. And he was great, man.
That's so wonderful. Was it a particularly difficult year like it was for everybody?
Oh, yeah, man. You know, like, because I was just so excited to get out and start building my career and stuff. And I was just so happy to be done with school. You know, school's fun and all, but it's a lot of hard work. I was really busting my ass now and then. And yeah, it was all I needed, honestly.
Well, that's how everything great is accomplished. And that's what you'll do when you move to New York and you go toward that Broadway thing. And that's what you look forward to in 2021 is hopefully that it gets safe. And what would you do? Move there?
Oh, yeah. I ended up getting a good manager out of this I Can See Your Voice gig. And my plan is to move to New York in the spring. And we're going to get an agent, too, and start auditioning for roles.
That's great. And that might not have happened had it been for this incredibly painful setback.
No, if COVID didn't happen, I actually would have been stuck here in Phoenix. Not stuck, but I was going to do hair here at a local Equity Theater. And since that got canceled, I was able to do the show.
I have a question about hair. Now, people are naked in hair, right?
Yeah.
With the world the way it is, and people are, they're grooming. There's a lot more manscaping and womanscaping going on. There's less hair down there. So the question I have is, do they put like merkins? Do they put like fake hair to be true to the time period when hair was made, or do they let people be how they are?
Well, I think in the contract it stated that we couldn't shave anything for a good while.
Whoa. So they want you to go scrappy.
Oh yeah. Scrappy do.
Right. And they wouldn't let you braid it or anything. You got to leave it as is, right?
Oh, yeah, it is. I mean, honestly, a nice little French braid might have been nice.
Or you could do a wraparound from the back if you got like a ponytail, but never mind. But obviously you couldn't do it because of COVID. It was over.
Honestly, it worked out really well that it didn't happen. Because if I did, I wouldn't have been able to be in the show. Also, because in the Fox contract, it was like, have you appeared nude anywhere? So I was like, nope, I have not.
Well, you're one of the few people in America that can say that right now.
Yeah.
Well, you are super talented. You really are. And I mean, you blew everybody away. And I was so happy when I saw that you called. It was like, wow, this is great. Because I never got to get close to you because like, the COVID restrictions were severe and smartly so.
And now we're talking on the phone like you wanted.
Yeah. It's really, really nice. So I'll end up seeing you in something in New York.
Thanks, Bob. You know, Bob, I'm a huge fan of yours, man. Like,
I grew up
watching Full House. I asked for the Full House series box set for Christmas when I was like 10. I ended up getting season 2 and 6 instead. Not the full series, but.
It was an expensive gift year for your family.
Oh, yeah. It was inside the house and everything. It was pretty, really pretty.
It's a cardboard. I have the ceramic cookie jar that the producer gave out. I do not have the boxed set, which is a lot of people's love is that thing. Well, I wish you all the very best. I will see you in New York. You'll be on Broadway. I'll come backstage if you're in the thing, and I will be saying hello. And we'll probably be able to give it a Broadway hug out because we'll be able to be near each other again because we'll all be in a safer world.
My people will hit up your people. I'll give you some tickets.
Yes, well, our people will be there. Everybody's people. We'll have people on people. It'll be like a whole pyramid scheme. So you take care of yourself, break a leg, and I will see you out there, and Happy New Year.
Thanks, man. Maybe we'll work together one day. Who knows?
You don't know. People have said that to me, or I've said it to them, and it's happened. So crossing all fingers and toes, and lots of good health, man, and travel safe. Well, that was nice. All right, this next person left a message, and she just sounds so sweet and maybe a little blue. That's an old term for being a little sad. So I'm giving her a call, and her name is Maisha.
Hello?
Hi, Maisha?
Yes.
Bob Saget, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You left a message, and then I heard it, and I went, wow, what's up with Maisha? And you love Cleveland, so I didn't know what that meant. So I just wanted to...
That's my name.
Oh, your name is Cleveland. That's a cool name.
Yeah. Thank you.
How did you get
that
name?
Yeah, my dad, John Cleveland, was from Cleveland. He's from Cleveland. Their last name was Cleveland.
That's cool.
There it is.
Well, it's the end of the year right now, so this whole thing is about 2020 and what a fantastic year it's been for everyone.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's the best ever. So was there anything that you felt that was good for you that came out of 2020?
Well, okay. So the good thing for me is that I've been able to spend more time with my parents now that I live in their basement.
Oh man. So were you living separately? And then once this happened, you went into your parents' basement?
Yeah, I was living in LA actually. And then the shutdown happened. I got evicted. I did end up living in Long Beach briefly, but I had no job. So my parents flew out, packed me up, and moved me to Nebraska.
Oh my God. You got good parents, right?
Oh, my parents are amazing. Yeah.
So you got evicted because there was no income coming in. Is that what happened?
No, I got evicted because I got sick in March. And technically at the time, we weren't allowed to go in and get tested yet. So I didn't know if I necessarily had COVID, but I definitely had a cold. And my landlord got scared because I lived with her and she kicked me out the same day.
Oh, that's so tough.
Yeah.
Were you mad at your landlord?
Oh, gosh, are you kidding? I'm still mad.
Right.
I'm still upset about it.
And your landlord's probably just trying to make ends meet now, too. It's
Yeah. I mean, no contact with her. I'm done with that. Leave it alone. And trying to move forward.
We got
to
cut the negative things from our life and move on. Unless you can make amends. But but it's not like your landlord is family.
No, thankfully.
So now, 2020, the good thing that came out of it for you is being with your parents and getting out of this dangerous situation that L.A. kind of became, right?
Yeah. I mean, I loved it there. I love living there, and I hope to go back. But I did need a break. It was too much. It was starting to get really stressful.
Are you an actress?
No, singer-songwriter. I was moved there for music. I was starting to get into background acting when all of this happened.
Right.
But I held down a 9-to-5 job and did the music and everything on the side.
Got it. And so you hope to put it in the forefront as you move forward.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm hoping for 2021. I've been given the gift of time. And so I'm trying to utilize it to work on my music and do my writing and, just focus more on the creative aspect. Because all of that kind of fell by the wayside.
Right. And it's interesting because personal setbacks happen while the world's going on around us. But when everybody's going through the setback, it's a terrible setback because we're talking a lot of stuff at the same time. We're talking about, I mean, 2020 was disease, politics, religion, anger, separation, racism. Racism denial,
just everything.
Truth denial, the world is flat.
Yeah.
We never went to the moon. all the denials and all the things of we've got to change everything on a dime right away. And no matter what your belief, everybody wanted to change everything immediately. And it's like, can't we just take it one problem at a time and help people? But when it all happens to everybody at the same time, it's kind of, I don't want to say reassuring, but it is a little bit in that we're all going through something together. Unfortunately, it's painful.
I think that's why I've been able to handle it as well as I have. I mean, the first 2 months I got here, I was down here in the dark just sleeping. But knowing that I'm not alone in this, there are other people, it's weird to say comforting, but it kind of does feel that way a little. I hope people don't misinterpret that.
No, they won't. Everything I say, they misinterpret, but you're fine. So was it, I don't want to get into a delicate subject, but I would imagine it was pretty depressing to have to leave and then go live in the basement with mom and dad. Was that, or did it feel like, oh, thank God I'm here. I need to just recover right now.
It was a thank God I'm here. I do need to recover, but it felt like a personal failure that I had to leave because my whole goal was to make it at least 10 years in LA. And I felt like I was just starting to figure out what I really want to do when all of this happened. And I just wasn't ready to leave, but I literally had to. I had no choice.
Well, there is no, you can put a 10-year goal on it, but there, I don't believe in it, because if it's something you really want, you know, there's, I was watching an interview with Lou Gossett Jr. I don't know why he's junior. He's like 80 years old, but I guess you keep it. But he was just saying you can do whatever you want. And, you know, he's a good example of that, coming up at the time that he came up. And then, you know, when he did Roots, it was a giant thing. But it, for me, I was told I was never going to make it. I had an ex-father-in-law that said, you know, what do you want to do? You should go into the tire business. He had tire stores, and you could run a tire store.
Mm-hmm.
Even on my way to the airport when I was flying to go live in L.A., he gave me a tour of the tire store, which was very generous of him and my ex-mother-in-law. But a manager at a tire store, it's like, what? And he said, what do you want to do with your life? I said, I don't know. Mel Brooks, Woody Allen, you know, Steve Martin, or these are people that I look up to. I want to be in a world where I try to do what they do. And he says, well, yeah, there's only a handful of those people, and you're not one of them. And that actually helped me, because that made me go, oh, no tire store. I'm going to do this. So it's, you know, you give yourself a time clock if you want. But if you feel like you've got it in your heart, I would say don't ever stop doing it. Just don't stop. And there's different levels of how you can accomplish it and get a feeling.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
Just do what you love and believe in yourself, because this is that reset. So 2021 to me,
yeah.
I mean, that's what it'll probably be near the fall, I guess, when we're all able to really get out there and try to do what we want again. And it might even be the next year.
Yeah, I'm really hoping for next summer, but yeah, realistically.
Well, I wish it for you, and you're so sweet. And please send my best to your parents. Shout upstairs, and I just send you lots of good wishes into 2021. And just go for it. I'm Nike. Just do it.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling me, Maisha.
You take care.
You too. Happy
Absolutely.
New Year.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling me. Happy
Thank
New
you.
Year.
Bye-bye. It feels really good to talk to people. I don't know. You all should start a podcast. Oh, wait. You all did. Okay. Well, I'm going to take a little break right now and just hear from my sponsors, who have grown mighty and been so kind this year. And a few of them, I just love doing reads for their ads, because it's so much fun. So I'm not kidding. I never thought I'd like it, but I do. So here's some words from people that make this possible. All right, we're back. We are back. And I'm going to give somebody a call back. And I don't know who this person is. She sounds really interesting. So this could be a problem, because she did go on in her message.
Hello?
Hello, is this Leanne?
Yeah, speaking.
Hi, it's Bob Saget. How are you, Leanne?
I am really good. How are you, Bob?
I'm doing okay. So where are you located, Leanne? What city? What area?
I'm in Sacramento.
Oh, awesome. I've been up there. So it's not been an easy 2020 up there, has it?
No, it's been so crazy. Rules keep on changing, and especially being a special education teacher, it's nuts. You know, I mean, they'll say at one point you can go to a student's house and you can't go. And it's just, oh my gosh, it's literally like every day you don't know what's going to happen.
I think the only safe place you can go to eat is the French Laundry. Sorry, I had to do one of those jokes. So 2020 for you, were you able to keep working?
Yes. I am considered an essential worker. So knock wood, I've been able to keep my job. So that's been great.
Well, please tell me what that job is, because God bless you for doing it.
So I'm a teacher of the visually impaired. So I work with blind and visually impaired students, right? And we're considered essential because we're special education teachers.
That's so amazing. And are the students, they range all ages?
Yeah, from 3 to 21. So I have a broad range of ages and visual needs. But it's pretty cool.
Has it all been done through Zoom, or do you not, do you do, this is going to be kind of rude, but do you do just audio, or do you do a full-on Zoom?
Yeah, no, that's not rude. It's totally understandable. A lot of it's been Zoom, but I have a few kids that are just learning how to read Braille, and that's really very hands-on. So
that's a very good sight-impaired joke. They're learning it hands-on. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There's a dad pun, poor taste joke right there.
No, it's all good. Don't worry. Yeah, it's been interesting because I got permission to go to this little girl's house, which was cool. So she actually understood what she was doing. And then I worked for Sacramento County and they're like, no, you can't go to anyone's house. I'm like, oh, man. So I'm like, how the hell am I going to explain to this kid's mom how to do things on Zoom? So it's been like, crazy.
It's impossible. Don't you?
It
you
is.
Really do need, and I have to use the words, you have to be hands-on. You have to be in person to teach someone visually impaired how to learn Braille, don't you?
Yes. So it's been interesting. And like, we've asked my bosses, I'm like, how the hell do you expect me to do my job? But they're just like, do the best you can. I'm like, okay.
Are you a person that would be more eligible for the vaccine earlier so you could get into people's homes?
Oh, that's a hell of a thought. I never thought of that. I no idea.
Talk to your boss, because maybe you can, if you believe in the vaccine. I mean, some people don't, so.
Oh, no, I'm not cuckoo like that. I totally believe in the vaccine.
I want two shots a day. I'm just going to, it's going to be like tequila to me. I'm going to do Jello shots of the vaccine.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, man, just give it to me. It's all good.
So
you know,
with this crazy year, with everything that's happened and you're not being able to do your work the way you would want to do it, what would you say was the best part that came out of 2020?
The best part of 2020? Well, your podcast, number one.
Oh, wow. I don't know what to say except thanks for reading what I sent you.
No, really. It's been good to laugh and, you know, do all that. So between your podcast, and I think I've told you this before with Inside of You podcast, it's been
Michael Rosenbaum. Michael Rosenbaum is just wonderful. I was on his, he was on mine. He's just a very, on our podcast, but he's a very, he's incredibly thoughtful and honest. I just love the guy.
Yeah, I know. You know what? When I saw your post on, what was it, Twitter?
Yeah.
About him being on your podcast, I'm like, yes, but it was such a good episode. It was amazing. Yeah. I really liked it.
Isn't it interesting the things that have brought us joy during this time? You know, the TV shows that made us feel good. Was there any particular show you watched over 2020 that made you feel great?
Oh, gosh. I'm kind of really nostalgic. Like, I go back to things from my childhood. Mm-hmm. So I've been watching a hell of a lot of, like, sci-fi, like, from the 70s, though. Like, 70s and 80s, the crappy stuff. Like, well, Star Wars wasn't crappy, but, you know, like, the original Battlestar Galactica, stuff like that.
Right. Have you watched Mandalorian? The Mandalorian?
Yes. I love it. How about you?
I want Baby Yoda. I think we all want Baby Yoda. I would guess, I would venture to say that's the biggest Christmas gift that happened this year is Baby Yoda. I would think of all sizes, but it's got to be small, you know.
Yeah. What, no Hanukkah, just Christmas? Okay.
Yeah, well, Hanukkah, you don't want to cut Baby Yoda into eight pieces because it's a gift a day. With the Hanukkah.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, you don't want to cut it. Or get eight Baby Yodas. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what would be what you're looking forward to in 2021 now?
You know, just people believing in science, you know, and just us helping each other. You know, I mean, the mask thing is not political. You know, just it's medical. Just realize it's a medical thing. We need to help each other with COVID and just be nice, you know?
Yeah, we've kind of lost that. It's become a yelling match, and
yeah,
I've fallen victim to it. I'll yell at the television set. You know, it's just not. And I yell at injustice, but that doesn't really. You get rid of your anger, but how does that solve anything?
Right. Exactly.
I wish you a really happy and healthy 2021, and thank you for the work you do. You'll be able to work with those people again that need you so bad. It's such a gift what you do.
Thank you.
It's a real, you're kind of the gift. People like you that do wonderful, wonderful things. You should be so, nothing wrong with being proud of yourself, you know? You're really helping people.
Yeah. Thank you. I try. It definitely makes me feel good to do what I do. So That's the whole point.
Well, you're doing it. And 2021, you'll be able to get back and be with people as we get through this whole thing. And everybody picks their favorite boutique vaccine that they're able to get. Oh, my. Well, anyway, happy and healthy new year to you and all.
Thank you, too.
And your family. Take care.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That is amazing to be able to work with people that can't see over virtual means. That's just, wow. I'm blown away. Okay, I'm going to call somebody now. I don't really have any details on him, but I do know his name is Steve. And what else do you really need? I like doing this. I have missed talking to people on this podcast, and this feels really nice.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Steve.
Hi, is this Bob?
It is.
Oh, Bob.
Can't believe you recognize my voice. How you doing, Steve?
I would recognize that dapper voice anywhere.
I'm dapper. Wow. I haven't heard that since Fred Astaire said it. Thank you. How the hell are you, man?
You know, I'm doing well. You know, very gracious for what I have and very hopeful for what society has. So I'm doing well. I've been exercising and, you know.
What kind of exercise do you do?
Treadmill. Just try and do 30 to 40 minutes of cardio, be it some of it high intensity, some of it just walking.
That is so smart and so important. I was talking to Bert Kreischer, who's going to be on the podcast soon, because today is New Year's Eve day, and Bert will be on in a couple weeks. And he has this high-powered treadmill that's like the treadmill of all treadmills. And it really is exactly what a lot of, and it's hard to get people's asses up, and myself included, and to get yourself back in gear. So I commend you for that, especially during this crazy time. Have you been quarantined throughout 2020 pretty much?
I have quarantined pretty much the whole year. And if I do see family, I actually get COVID tested before I see family. And then like if it comes up negative, then I go see them and it hasn't been positive. But if it were to be positive, I just would say, hey, I'm sick and I can't see you guys.
Steve, you're like a good American person that believes in science.
Yeah, it's fascinating that, I have a lot of colleagues for work who are in the healthcare profession, and even if I didn't, I trust doctors. I'm in that pool of people that doctors don't make things up.
It's interesting because I've had a lot of, in my life, doctor betrayal, so I can understand people that go, oh, I don't believe this, because I've had doctors, I had a sister that had scleroderma, and the doctor that was her doctor basically is responsible for accelerating her death. So because they didn't know anything about it. So now we're at a place where we do know something about COVID. And so if it's a vaccine and we don't see people dropping by the wayside, I'm getting 40 shots of it, you know, in my eyes. But you know, I've all of us have had experiences where a doctor hasn't worked out, but to not believe in science is to not be on the earth and to use all of your brain. It's just unfortunate for people.
Yeah. It's, you know, and I'm very, the only word I can think of is weird, where I don't necessarily tell people like, hey, people, you really need to listen to guidelines. And the reason is that I don't know that anyone's going to listen to me. Yeah, so
you can't lecture people. They're not going to, here I am lecturing you. They're not open. They will not receive. What would you say would be the best thing that came out of 2020? Would it be moving and getting yourself in better physical shape?
If we're speaking me specifically, that I'm still working and that I didn't, you know, get sick and then I did have the ability to move so that I could start working out, exercise. That would probably be the best thing.
What kind of job do you have?
I'm a video producer.
And that was able to keep going throughout this?
Yeah, so I work for a company that owns 3 healthcare IT-based news publications. And basically, when we were doing things in person, I'd fly to like 25 events a year, and I'd film interviews with like healthcare experts, and we'd publish them to our website and to our news sites, kind of think like BuzzFeed, but for healthcare. That's kind of the format.
That's fantastic. And how do you do it? Do you have crew people that go out and shoot this stuff for you?
Yeah, no, we don't. So now that we're, you know, now we've been working from home since March, we actually use Zoom, and then I take that and kind of pretty it up. And we've actually been developing original programming instead of doing these interviews that are at these events. So we like, we've got a series that's called Deep Dive, and it takes a deeper dive look into various healthcare topics.
That's really cool. And you're helping people at the same time. And you're able to make a living, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Actually, I got promoted.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Oh, I think you and Jeff Bezos are the people that did the best throughout this, and maybe Disney Plus.
Yes. But me and Jeff are going to swap paychecks or pay. We'll play paycheck roulette.
That's so kind of him, because he decided to suffer for no reason.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you know, they call he's the patron saint of suffering. Clearly.
He writes to me every day, and it's on the box and it has my name. I'm so honored. It's like we have such a good relationship. I hear from him every day. It's fantastic.
That is remarkable.
So what do you look forward to in 2021?
I'm looking forward to, I mean, personally, I'm looking forward to tentatively going back to in-person things for work, and maybe going to the concerts and watching comedy. Like you know, my uncle Bob Saget is supposed to be performing in 2021. So yep. Totally looking forward to that.
I'm going to be out there. And where are you located?
Chicago.
Oh, I'll be there. I will be there. I've been talking to a lot of Chicagoans today. It's really interesting. And that's where my wife's family is. And that's where I'm planning to shoot my next special. So it'll be on my website and all that stuff. I'm hoping to do it at the end of 2021, that's fingers crossed, but I can't wait to perform again. I think a lot of performers and a lot of comedians, I know all my compadres feel the same way. We just can't wait to get out there and do it. And you really do find out what you want to do during a time like this, if you're not in a place where you can't function, which is the saddest of all, is people that really might not recover ever from this year, which is right. That's where the big pain comes from. But into 2021, you would be able to do more production in person?
Yeah, so we're actually, and this is still very tentative, but work had to basically finalize budgets because our fiscal calendar is actually January 1 through December 31. So they were finalizing the budget, and they are planning for us to be in person filming an event in Vegas in August.
Well, you make sure get the good vaccine, get the one that's, I don't know. They're competing now to say who's better. Get the one that's 95%. By the time you're ready to go to Vegas, there'll probably be one that's 98% proven.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see. I take it basically like my favorite TV show, One Day at a Time. So,
oh, there you go. You know, the new one, the one by Norman Lear, again, but the Latino version.
Oh, I didn't even know there's a new one.
You got to watch it. It's produced by Norman Lear, a 98-year-old friend of mine who's a genius.
Right. Do you still do cigars with him, like on Zoom?
I do. We've been doing them on Zoom, yeah. I didn't smoke one the other day because I'd been writing and I had one in the afternoon, so I'm trying not to overindulge, which I have done in my past, but I can't wait to be able to do it in person with him. This has been a particularly difficult time to be around. He's 98, so he's more vulnerable than I am. And his nephew is John LaPook, the CBS medical expert, who forbids us to go near him.
Yeah, right. I can imagine.
And they say that even if you smell cigar or cigarette smoke, that means that if someone has the coronavirus, and even if they're not affected, but they are a carrier, if you're smelling the smoke, that virus can be in that smoke. That's how people say 6 feet, 8 feet, 9 feet. You could be 20 feet. And if you're inhaling smoke, that's what people don't realize. It's actually something you can see. It's an opaque version of watching the particle carry. So
Yeah, you know, I just, I can't, I don't like to lecture because no one's going to listen to me, but I can certainly do everything in my power to be safe, be encouraging to folks.
And take care of yourself and other people. Be considerate of other people, which is
right.
Something maybe will also come out of this. There'll be a movement of empathy until people's lives are a little bit back to normal, and then they will just forget. I'm just looking forward to going to my doctors, looking him right in the eye and say, let's do a shot. And then, he said to me, I'm going to take it first. And then if you don't hear from me, don't take it.
Really good method. I like that.
Well, I'm going to say goodbye because I've got to go talk to more people. But Steve, I'm really happy for you that you've gotten through this time, and I wish you a really happy and healthy new year.
You as well. Thank you so much for calling. It's always a pleasure to hear from you.
Thanks so much, man. Be well.
You as well.
Thanks.
All right. Bye.
Bye. All right. I'm going to try one more person now. This is Cheyenne, and I don't know where she is. Maybe she's in Cheyenne. Huh. I have no idea, but she seemed like a nice person. From what I could tell, she's from Canada.
Hello.
Hi, Cheyenne. It's Bob Saget. Hello.
Oh, hello.
How are you?
I am actually pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing okay.
Well, that's good. Sorry, I'm a little bit nervous and excited.
Oh, me too. Thank you. I'm honored.
Yeah.
I'm honored. I've been going through this, talking to some nice people. It's the end of 2020. Today is actually New Year's Eve day.
Yeah.
And so you're in Canada, right?
I am. I'm actually from Brandon, Manitoba.
Oh my. Oh my. So, how have you been hanging in through this 2020?
Well, I've been going through a bit of depression when we had the lockdowns happen twice.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't seen my family since the second lockdown
right. That
happened for a month.
Yeah. It's so hard.
It is very hard because I'm very close with my sister and my dad.
Was there anything positive that came out of 2020 in your mind? Did it?
Well, there has been, because last summer it was a blessing. Me and my sisters, we did go to Winnipeg to visit our friends after the restrictions got lifted, and we did go on a boat cruise in another town of Manitoba.
Right. And so that was right before, and then it turned to what it turned to.
Yeah, well, we had the second wave happen pretty bad here.
And Cheyenne, what are you looking forward to in 2021?
Well, I am sure looking forward to the cases going down, and people would take better care of their health.
Yeah, yeah. And are you a vaccine taker? Are you a believer in that?
Well, before the COVID-19, I was never a firm believer in the vaccine because I was always living a natural lifestyle, believing that only foods and essential oils would take care of everything.
Right.
But then when COVID hit, that's when I knew we need something.
Yeah. Well, that's nice to hear, because some people still don't want to take it, but I look at it as I would the flu vaccine, or you look at the polio vaccine, or different things that I got inoculated for when I was a baby that don't even exist anymore because it was stopped by people getting vaccinated. In a world that changes in 2021, are you able to go back to work?
Well, I'm hoping, but I'm thinking that I might be going back to work in the summertime because the COVID numbers are still very high.
Right.
And people aren't traveling as much.
What kind of work do you do?
I work at a hotel as a housekeeper.
Oh, bless you. And so you haven't been able to do that. Has the hotel been functioning?
Well, it is open, but they're only allowing a certain percentage of people there.
Right. Well, I wish for you a really healthy and a happy new year, and to be able to get back to whatever the new normal is as we get into 2021. And I really I appreciate you calling. I'd like to talk longer, but I've got special guests coming in. I wish you and your loved ones all the best, and I look forward to you being able to get together with all of them and being able to go back to work and have your life back. I'm sending you lots of good thoughts and love into the new year.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, Cheyenne, and all the best.
You too. Thanks. God bless you. Happy Hanukkah.
God bless you too. I want to thank all the people that just called and left messages, and I'm so happy I got to talk to everybody. You guys are, it gives me a reason to really want to do this podcast, and I wish you all, everybody listening, an incredibly happy and healthy new year. I've got somebody on hold that you're not going to believe because I'm in the middle of doing this podcast, and John Stamos and Dave Coulier are calling me. Because that's our relationship. So when we come back, I've got John Stamos and Dave Coulier. Yeah. So we'll be right back. Okay, we're back. And believe it or not, I've got Jesse and Joey on hold. Here's my brothers, John Stamos and Dave Coulier. Hey.
Hey, well, that was easy.
Yeah, that was so simple. You guys are on my podcast.
Thank God. I listened to you and Dave's podcast the other day. I mean, I dissected every bit of it. I've got so much to talk about, but we don't have to do it here.
What is that loud sound? It sounds like some kind of an odd animal hacking.
That is my dog, Ziggy. He has a little pig, and it makes that oinking noise.
Oh, I thought that was Ziggy, but... No.
So, guys, you are literally on my podcast right now, and this is the one that we are airing right now on December 31st. So it's the end of 2020. So it's my kind of what did you like about 2020? What do you look forward to in 2021?
That's a big one. Hey, let me say first that your podcast is great, man. You're getting a lot of great guests.
I got you guys.
No, but I mean, better than us. But you're really developing as a great podcaster guy.
I love you so much.
Sorry, Dave, I interrupted you.
No, Dave's got a dog that's eating a pig.
You know,
I've seen it.
I like, about 2020, what do I like? The hindsight. That's what I like about it.
Yeah, that it's over?
Yes.
I'll tell you about 2020 is that we are the luckiest bastards. I guess I can speak for myself. I just feel so
Dave,
fortunate.
I think your dog is eating metal.
He's very loud.
Well, don't you feel so grateful that we made it through? We got a little dough saved up, and
a lot of people don't have nothing, and you're sitting there with a guitar ready to rip her right out. Dave's got a pig dog.
I just got off. I've been doing Zooms this morning with kids at hospitals, and that's what's been a nice thing.
You've always done, John. You've been so amazing. Dave, I know you're right there with me. We would be at Full House all those years, and then John would bring in the Starlight and the Make-A-Wish and anybody that wanted to come see Full House. John, you were the one. You were the instrumental one that got me involved, that got Dave involved.
Well, you guys stepped up anytime I asked, but I didn't mean to plug myself. So
I'd like to plug you right now. It's lonely. Kelly left town.
Hey, the three of us are on here. I thought that's a great idea.
So I'm going to ask you both what I've been asking all these nice people I've been calling. What would be the thing that was most positive for you out of 2020, as shitty as the year was? What would you say would be the best thing that happened?
This interview?
That bad a year.
The best thing was I got to see my dad a lot. He's 90 years old, and we take care of him, and we bring him food. And, you know how our lives get. We go a million miles an hour, and we tend to forget sometimes to slow down and be with those we love. So I was able to just kind of stop and really connect with my dad. And I'll always be thankful for this time here that, I got to just sit down and have great conversations with him.
I feel the same about your dad, too. I've spent a lot more time with him than other years.
I slept with your dad.
You did?
I don't know how you could sleep the way he tosses and turns.
And those teeth are always like...
That's not all. He's very gassy, incredibly.
But
he
I could
very gassy.
Say the same thing about my son. Like, I never would have had this time, especially at this formative age. He's, you know, 2.5 now. You know, I've been with him, you know. At some point, I was like the prime. Caitlin, when this thing started, Caitlin had the idea to before anybody mentioned the word mask, she said, people are going to need masks. I'm like, what do you mean need masks? There's masks everywhere, you know. And she was right. And she got on this thing where she was making masks 12 hours a day. She goes, I said, you need help with Billy? She goes, yeah, you're the primary parent. I'm like, okay. And I was really like, you know, night and day with him.
How are your breasts?
He doesn't breastfeed anymore.
Good for you.
But you did, John, right. You did breastfeed him for a while? You went natural?
But yeah, when he was younger. And
I mean, you milk came out of your tats.
No, Bob. Guys, why did I always have to go to the boobs, tits, boob, thing, poop?
How are babies born? Well, first thing I do is lay on top of you.
The rest of it has been horrible. You just feel so awful for everybody and for people. And, you know, I don't know. We're so fortunate. Every day I get on my knees. I thank God. I thank you guys. I thank everybody.
Dave gets on his knees because he's really close with his brother.
Dave. Was this news that TLC confirmed that they wrote no scrubs about you too? I just read this.
Yeah, Bob's quoted in that. Have you seen that yet, Bob?
Yeah, but I think that's a fake thing. It's like The Onion, right?
No.
It is.
It is?
It's pretty cool. Come on.
There's an article, if you guys don't know, there's an article about that TLC wrote a song about Dave because, you know, what's her name? Alanis Morissette wrote "You Ought to Know About Dave." That's you know, I saw her, Dave, about 5 years ago. I think it was. I think I told you. And we were at something. I said, "Did you really write that?" She goes, "Yeah."
Parts of it. She said it was about three guys, really. But Dave, I was at your house, and I think we talked about this on when you were on my podcast, which was you said, "I can't believe it." Alanis just said, "Hate to call you during dinner." And that's a lyric in the song. So she's pretty brilliant. And, you know, Jagged Little Pill is one of the top 10 best-selling albums of all time. You ought to know, Dave.
You ought to know.
Keep going.
And you also said, well, she never went down on me in the theater.
Did she?
No.
You know, when you do that. That cut the hole out of the bottom of the popcorn cup one time and it haunts you the rest.
Yeah, you're right. You know what was really impressive for me was I would do it with the milk duds.
So when my dad died, Bob offered to host his wake by taking the mic from the priest and telling jokes and talking about himself for 2 hours. I'm just going to go right into my monologue that I did for
we no, have, sorry we have, about John's dad. We love Bill very much. But, you know, it's funny about dads. You know, my dad, when I was a kid, he would kind of put food on a fishing line. That's all I had.
No, we have each other's back forever. I've been there for him.
I was close with your dad, John.
Yeah? You what?
I was close with your dad.
You guys were great. Yeah. And we just been for it. You guys have been there for me. When Bob Saget was questioned about that missing girl back in 1990, I lied in his deposition.
Gilbert Gottfried,
I'm doing a monologue from the thing.
From the roast.
That wasn't the thing. Hey, here's the thing. We have been for each other. You remember sitting around the camp? We went to visit Bob's mom, right? She was dying. And we went back and sat around the fire somewhere.
That was Dave's mom. Mine was actually in the fire.
We went to my backyard.
Right.
It's hard to keep track because of all of our moms.
But tell them that story a little bit because that was kind of funny. Bob and I, your mom had just passed away, was it, Dave?
No, she was on the way. The cancer had gotten so bad. And John, you and I were at Soho House at 5 o'clock because you like to have dinner around lunchtime.
Uh-huh.
And Dave called us and said, guys, I'm really hurting. And this is our relationship for anybody that's listening, for the people that are still listening. We are there for each other, literally like brothers. And Dave,
but we showed up. But remember, we drove up to his house, and he opened the door, and describe what we saw.
He's in the onesie from the Super Bowl commercial that you put us on, John. The red onesie that opened in the front.
Right.
And his wiener was hanging out, and he was doing a little dance. He was doing a little dance with his...
Oh, his wiener?
Yeah. No, his wiener was just kind of, you know, hoping. And he did a little finger point. Little finger pointing. What, Dave?
That's how much I love you guys. And I got a picture of it, I think. I got a lot of pictures of you.
Yeah,
Dave,
John, you always have had pictures of the worst shit from lives.
You know, for those of you that are fans of Bob Saget, and who isn't, on his one of his comedy albums, he tells a story, a true story, about the 8x10. It was somebody's birthday in Vegas, and I couldn't play with them. I'm ruining this, Bob, but they brought an 8x10 of me. They cut out a hole around the mouth. Dave stuck his penis in it and took a picture. When they landed, I met them at the car, and they gave me the picture, and I stuck my tongue in it, and then they showed me the picture of Dave's wiener in it. I have those two pictures. So anybody that thinks that's a made-up story, go to my Twitter right now.
By all means, please show those
Please
pictures.
Post them. Please. The thing is, you sent them to me, and I got offended. It's so funny that me, of all people, I went, John, do not send me these things. I was like my mom, and I like deleted them. Because I did not want to see Dave's wiener coming out of your mouth in an 8x10. I mean, it's different if we're together.
You don't want to see it, but you do. You talk about it in your act.
Yeah, I talk about it, but talking is different than visual aids.
Well, what was that noise, Dave? Did you just...
Dave's dog is eating the trash can.
No, that was me. I farted.
I was telling Dave recently.
John,
that
did you hear on that? John, I'm sorry to interrupt, but did you hear on the podcast where at the end of Dave's episode, he literally shit his pants? Literally.
Yeah, I heard it. But here's the thing.
That's how much I love you guys.
I don't think I had corona, but I don't have a sense of smell anymore. And I wish it was back when we were working together. But
I should have married John.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have been able to work together. So I'm going to ask you the question I've been asking everybody. What is it Dave said he liked the most about 2020 was being with his dad, and he's 90, and spending valuable time. And John, you and Billy have been able to spend such quality time together.
Mm-hmm. And we answered questions already.
I know, but I didn't answer the B side, what do you look forward to in 2021? That's the other topic here.
Well, I look forward to this vaccine. I hope everybody, you know, makes sense to get it. And I hope, you know, we're never going to go back to the way we were. That's the thing. And if we have to get away from that thinking, sadly, because it's just never going to be like it was, not for a long time. We got it. But I think that it's illuminated a lot of things for me, especially, right? The world, politics, the way it all works. I was in the clouds. I thought everything was, oh, it's okay up there. They'll take care of us. And so for that, it's been interesting. And I sure will. My parents, I didn't come from a political family. We didn't talk politics, but it would sure educate my son a lot better than I was educated in that arena.
It's been a challenging time, and I know I love you guys a lot.
Yeah. If you have friends, hold on to them tight, right?
Yeah, right around the waist.
Now, why? But, you know, Dave, I mean, he ditched me for John Mayer some time ago. I'm glad you're still around, Dave. You think I'm the only one who really came through for him on this last scleroderma thing?
Well, he sang a song, John, you closed that, and I'm going to post it because it was so.
Sorry, I'm just trying to bring it back to this thing.
Amazing. Actually, that your monologue was just beatific. People were screaming. I might even post it on Instagram or something. It was so
good.
You've
done a great thing, and hopefully, you know, you're going to find a cure for scleroderma, so he'll stop emailing us and bugging us all the time, right, Dave? No? It's always the same thing. It's just, you know, talk of another charity, another marriage, a long, crazy conversation about his lifetime battle with erectile dysfunction. I can't take it anymore, David.
It's not a lifetime battle. Actually, I don't fight it anymore. I embrace it. In fact, I would say I don't have it. I would say I'm pretty able to. I could perform right now if I had an audience.
I can. We're on video, gang. He has a boner.
This is all right. Above the waist shooting.
Are you going to put the camera? Are you going to put the video on this too?
I'm going to put the video. Probably going to put this video on Instagram. Just a piece of it.
Hey Bob, but you've really been getting some great guests, and you've been doing really well on the show.
Well, I learned how to do it. It takes a year. I mean, I haven't done it a year. I've done it since I guess March or April. But I started doing it before quarantine, and I was in a studio.
I was your first guest. I remember.
You were.
What have you learned since then? And I'm not even being funny. I'm being like, I mean, I can tell you what I think you've learned.
I know what it is because you taught it to me. You were one of the people that recommend I get a therapist. You're one of the people. The best qualities I have is when I listen.
I was just going to say, you become a good, a very good listener.
I'm and sorry, what?
And that makes these guys great. You know, you listen to Howard and some of these podcasts, they're really, you're listening. But you've done really great with that.
I actually care. Yeah. I care more about people. I think that's what I've gotten out of 2020. I care more about people, and that's how the podcast has kind of. That's helped embrace me toward it because I don't do anything without. You know, you work with me on Full House and Fuller House. You know how invested I was emotionally. You know, Fuller House. I gave it everything I had. Where am I? What are my lines? Who are you?
You know, John, you were Bob's first podcast guest. I was, I think, 50th.
Yeah.
Well, that shows for our friendship.
So yeah. That just shows you where I am in rank.
But here, let me say this. At least he learned to listen by the time you guys came around. Although, a couple times, like, really? I never knew that. Because you never asked him, Bob.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, Dave, after you, I've had even other people that I'm close to and other people that are great guests. And next year I'm going to have amazing guests. So because of you, I mean, John helped me get it off the ground. But Dave, if I hadn't gotten to the place that I was at by the time you did it, you would have not shit your pants at the end of that podcast.
You know what? That's a great point. That's a big selling feature for next year, for your next season.
I think forever. I think people will listen to your episode maybe more than any other because it was a wet, juicy, real fart. And you were embarrassed. Your ass embarrassed you, and that never happens. Usually you're thrilled.
You know, both of your asses look up to my ass.
Oh, yeah, my ass idolizes yours. Still does.
Yeah, because usually my ass is on the bottom.
You know, we've all exhausted conversation about Full House over the years. And we've got, all three of us, I know, we've gone through so many different emotions about it. We wanted out. We wanted more. We wanted, you know, and then we finally sort of came around to the fact that it ain't going away. And we should be proud of it because it's done a lot of good for a lot of people. But I wonder, where do you think our lives would be if we didn't do it?
I'd be probably selling tires.
I'd be installing the tires at where Bob's selling the tires.
You'd be putting the nuts on.
Yes, I would be.
And John, what would you be doing? You'd be touring with the Beach Boys. You would have show after show. You always had show after show.
That's not necessarily true. I mean, it's just, you know, I think we all at some point wanted to be taken a little more serious. Well, you and I, Bob. Dave was always, and I mean this as a compliment, Dave was just happy in his skin. He was happy making people laugh. He was happy doing his voices and, you know, all that stuff. And that's a great thing.
Yeah.
But we always sort of wanted more. But, you know, at the end of the day, it afforded us more, really. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I found out the value of Full House and Fuller House. You know, it's subjective, but I found out the value of what just pure family entertainment brings to people. And Full House, I was talking to somebody about it the other day on here, and that Full House had a different, because it was analog, because it was tape and it wasn't done digitally, that besides the way the casting was done and the writing was done, when they finally figured out what Full House was, that every character got served. You know, every single character had a show. You'd go out on a commercial break and Michelle would go, what am I going to do? Or Jody would have one, or John, you had a lot, and Dave would have a lot, and I would have a lot, and the episode would be, okay, there's going to be a Joey episode. And
yeah, we all got our share throughout that, 24 episodes.
That's a lot of people. And so that's one of the keys to the show, I think, the success of the original. But it was also on analog. So say again?
Sorry. Didn't we had less characters, though, right? I mean, it was just the five or six of us for a while there. And Fuller House is like 27 people that you have.
But it was Kimmy Gibbler, and it was Scott Weiner, and it was Jarny, mm-hmm. who's starring on...
Journey.
It is Journey. Damn it. All those Jarny years. I hope she's not mad at me for calling her Jarny all these years.
She probably didn't hear.
Journey Smollett was... She never messed up a line. I could barely talk. And look at her now. She's this gorgeous, amazing actress. Have you seen her show?
Yeah, on HBO.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's one of my favorites.
Have you seen her brother's?
What?
Have you seen her brother's show?
No. I thought you said, have you ever seen Butters? And that's a friend of Dave's. I got confused.
Yeah, some friends with the South Park character.
You know what I missed when you guys were on? We didn't get to hear a lot of voices from Dave, a lot of characters.
Well, he did. People were blown away, and I know this because of feedback, by his Robin Williams, his Richard Pryor. I mean,
but he didn't do a lot of Pryor. You kind of set up the story, but you know, I think he just wanted two lines. Do a little Pryor, Dave, because I know that you would go in and fix his when he cussed on movies for TV.
Have you seen the Showtime comedy story?
Yes, thing? I was going to bring that up too. You guys.
Yeah, yeah, but there's some weird stuff, you know, because like the guy comes over to my house, and I didn't invite your ass.
Yeah. A little bit of Cosby in there too.
Well, Cosby's doing he's in prison and he's doing the pudding because they're putting it in his ass, putting it in his mouth, putting it in his hand.
It's okay. We're leaving this in. That's what they're saying,
Bob,
also.
What's your Cosby joke? That was a good one.
Well, the truth of it is, I hear he's getting out. I hear he's getting a pardon is what I'm hearing.
What's your joke that you're doing?
One of them is, you know, somebody at lunch is bringing him a tray and goes, here's your Jell-O.
No, but some Disney, didn't you have a Disney one?
I had a whole bunch of stuff, you know, that he was saying that he had lost his sight, so he couldn't identify any of the women that were accusing him of what he did to them. And I said, even if I'd lost my sight, I'd be able to, and then I would mime touching their body parts, and then it was gross.
Did you know him?
My joke was, I'm changing my name to Bill Cosby.
Bob, did you see any shenanigans?
Yeah, at the last Tonight Show that I did, it was a little awkward. I mean, he got kind of mad at me. I don't remember the whole thing, but it was. And he had disdain for me, for he liked me, but he didn't like that I used blue language in my stand up. And
what a fucking
Dave, kill your dog.
he's a puppy.
Oh, then let him live.
He's a puppy.
He's the loudest. Does he have his own mic?
He does. Uh-huh. He has a bullhorn. He's Glenn Super.
Dave, may he rest in peace. Dave, do that sound you do that I don't know what it is, but it's like that. What is that?
That's a duck with a pencil caught in its throat.
Do it really loud one more time.
Got to see the face. Can I ask you guys a question? This is serious. The I'm such a fan of comedy, mostly because of you guys. So much about it over the years. I've watched the way you construct jokes and the way you, you know, the way you have Rolodex in your head and the way you listen to somebody saying something and twist it. I mean, your timing, all of it is stuff that I've just been fascinated and studied you guys all the time. You've also introduced me to some of the greatest, you know, comics around over the years from, you know, from Chandling. You guys had a relationship with him. I would go to the comedy clubs with you guys and just watch, and it was great to meet all these people. But what's happening now? Like, I mean, with this cancel culture, with everybody so sensitive, I mean, I could name 10 jokes from each of you right now that you can never do again. How does that, what's that about?
Well, for, go ahead, Dave.
Well, you know, comedians through history have always kind of talked about the elephant in the room, you know, and they've always peeled away the, I don't know, whatever you call it, the social strata, the layers that exist in our society that need to be peeled away. You know, they talk about, you know, social conflict. They talk about differences. We've always, you know, we've always exposed things that people wouldn't say in a room, but a comedian will say it because everybody's thinking it. And, you know, you look at, you know, the people that, that really paved the way for us, you know, the Lenny Bruces and the George Carlins and the Richard Pryors and, you know, Don Rickles. I mean, Don insulted everybody. You couldn't have a Don Rickles today. And I think you dangerous. You could have
Don. Yeah, go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
I just think it's very dangerous as a society when you do not allow ourselves to peel those layers away and talk about our differences, because we're not all the same. And talking about our differences is a very funny thing.
Well, how
and it also helps us understand each other by talking about our differences. And so when you can't do that, I think it's very dangerous for society. And I think the pendulum has to swing back at some point so that we don't take ourselves so seriously, because you really do need to laugh.
You're a white guy from Detroit. I mean, there's not a lot of things that, you know, that could be said, but you know, when some of these comics are ripping on people's, you know, religion and their ethnic, you know, the, what, where they're from, what's the word I'm looking for, ethnicities, it can be hurtful. I mean, I guess, but I'm asking, like, when did
it was happening already, John. It was happening. I was out touring last year before a pandemic, and I was feeling it in the audience, and that's why I wanted to start this podcast. So I started getting ready to made the deal for this podcast at the end of 2019. So I was set to go no matter what, because I felt a lot of dissension in my audiences and racial and political differences, and it was driving me nuts. And then there's people that I've been able to spend time with throughout the pandemic that I look up to, and that would be Chappelle and Bill Burr and Dave. They're doing it. And I'm going to be doing it when I'm able to go out and tour again. Able to say the stuff that I want to say if I tee it up properly. It takes more time. You know, you say something really wrong, that as long as it's not misogynistic, like bullshit, you know, like, you know what it is I hate about women, you know, that old shit, those people, goodbye, you know, that's unless they're doing a parody or satire of it. But like Bill Burr, there's no apologies in what he's doing, and he could care. He cares about people so much, and he's brilliant and wonderful. And Dave Chappelle, probably the greatest living comedian. Chris Rock calls it all out. They're not, you know, they're the ones, and there's other mavericks that are going to keep coming through. I'm going to do my part, what I can. So Dave, it is hopeful, because comedy, as you're saying, we fucking need it so bad that it's going to come back bigger than ever. It truly, truly is. And the people that are funny, that we love, who's not watching comedies in between all the horror things we're watching, you know, the nightmares, the news, whatever. I mean, I'm turning on anything funny that
but
I
how
can
hard find. Is it? It's got to be so hard to be funny about Trump or be funny about COVID. You know, the Trump stuff is already.
Yeah, it's been overdone, and it's painful. And look how separated people are over it, you know? And I can even understand people's other sides, all the sides, you know, the 10 different voices and opinions and deniers. And I can understand it because people don't like change. They don't, they have fear. They don't want, they fear the other, you know, they have to have a common enemy, which is basically when another planet attacks us and their piss dissolves us to nothing. They pee on us and we die like Mars Attack.
I heard a lady today say that she's not taking the vaccine because she thinks it's a tracking device by the U.S. government. I said, where did you hear that? She goes, Facebook.
I used to have that joke, and it's about you breastfeeding, John, that men can breastfeed. And I said, I read that. Okay, I wrote it down, and then I read it. So, but that's where we're at. We're at, I heard somebody say, and then that becomes a tweet. You know, I heard becomes literally out of the government. Well, not all the government.
It's like fire, the social media stuff, because some of it's great and then the other part of it's not. And how can you censor it? It's complicated. I was watching an old video. I was putting some stuff together, and it was of us like 30, you know, at Disney World, you know, 30 years ago, whatever it was. And the three of us, and all, you know, with our families and stuff, and everybody was paying attention to the other person. Everybody was talking to the people. They were looking them in the eye. No phones. No, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what I want for 2021. Well, what I want for the next 10 years is hopefully that people can listen to other people and disagree without the hatred.
It's hard, isn't it? Now.
Yeah. I was talking to somebody about that knows history, American history. And Dave, you probably know this. You know all kinds of shit. Like, John, don't you find that sometimes you talk to Dave and you go like, what? I didn't know that.
He's a lot smarter than he looks.
He's like a professor.
He is, yeah.
Yeah, it would be like if they did Gilligan's Island, he would be the professor. Oh, I can make a radio out of that.
It's like MacGyver.
Yeah, he's MacGyver. Dave would have gotten them off of Gilligan's Island. I can build a plane.
Yeah, if we're in trouble, it's the three of us, I'm turning to him.
Well, I'll complain enough to get attention. But what I was going to say, go ahead, what?
You asked Dave a question.
I was going to say that what I found out from somebody that makes sense is that really studies up on history, because I was talking to, I can't remember which one of the, I've had some cool people on the podcast, like Jake Tapper and people that know American history and study it, and you know, and you say,
was it the Jake Tapper one area?
Yeah.
I really like it. It was
before Dave's.
You had Lawrence
O'Donnell, and I've had different people. I've had Dave Rubin on and David Portnoy. I am not a guy, D.L. Hughley. I've had people that have different viewpoints, and I welcome them because I want them.
What did they say about history? Sorry.
Well, I can't remember who told me. It might have been Jake, but because he's from Philadelphia. I'm from Philadelphia. And in Independence Hall, which I was at, I got in there one night because they let Kelly, my wife, and because you don't know who my wife is, into Independence Hall, the upstairs. Now, that's the room where it happened. That's where they would have meetings, and the meetings went all night. And the stories are that they drank a lot and they got in fights sometimes. There were fights. They beat the shit out of each other, and they were angry. And it was Democrats and Republicans and just people with different opinions on the same team and or whatever team was. And the idea was let them get it out of their system, and we'll be able to settle this. And it was just the way humans are made. It's a, you know, we are not perfect. And that's, I'm not saying we should have a fight, because we are. We're, you know, we're in a cold civil war, as people are saying. But we need to really stop this bullshit, and people need to find the truth. And everybody's got a different truth right now. So. Yeah.
Have you seen the Social Dilemma? Have you seen that yet?
Yeah.
Very interesting. You know, it talks about the AI that exists, that, you know, we're all holding these phones. And they said that our brains through thousands of years haven't really changed very much. But the AI that we have seen in our phones from day one, from when we first got our first cell phones, has exponentially change to the tune of a trillion. And our brains really can't, even though we're looking at these screens right now, our brains have no idea how to adapt to the AI that is manufactured on the other side of the screen.
You're saying it's controlling our thoughts because we're not that.
Well, in more ways than we are conscious of, the AI is driving us down a certain path. For instance, it knows all of our trends, and so it will feed into those trends. And that's kind of a scary thing when you realize that AI is propelling us throughout our day, whether it's just whatever app you open, whether you're doing email, whatever you're doing, it's being driven by someone who designed that.
I'm sick of hearing from people that have sex with horses. I am just exhausted. I don't know how they got that off of my browser history.
Whatever truth that you think is yours, you can feed that truth.
Exactly. The algorithms match. Yeah. Like my wife and I have two completely different sets of information coming at us. So we'll have different news feeds. I'll say, did you see this? And she'll go, no, but that's, I read this. And, and then the good part is if you can get educated by the other news and go, well, I don't know if I agree with that, or that's interesting. So what I was getting fed, that's propaganda, but is the other propaganda, you know, it's really, it's crazy and it's dangerous.
I have a few friends that I could really talk to about stuff and then we really listen to each other. And I have to say that, you know, stuff that I thought was bullshit, you know, wasn't. And it, you know, just the way that it was, that I stopped and listened. Other people, you can't. And it's hard, but you want to watch Fox News. You want to ask people, what are you getting out of this president? How is your life better? And some people have really good answers. You go, okay, I get it. You know, our wardrobe guy, Brian Mahan, you know, I said, what are you doing here? What, you know, he said, I hate Trump. I said, why did you vote for him? He said, because my 401k is up and my, this is up. And I go, okay. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't want to get in the middle of anything too political here. But
I think Turn made a good decision.
So like an extra 20 grand to somebody or 10 grand, that's a vacation. That's a car. That's, you know, that's taking care of your kids.
Right now it's staying alive. If you're not able to work on something. Yes.
So you have to look at it from that perspective too. Right, you can't just say, oh, they're selling.
Especially the small businesses and the restaurants that are closed, and people will never get it back. That's Great Depression proportion. So I get it, but I also get that this is a real disease, and we have to get rid of it.
It starts
with responsible leadership, and we really don't have responsible leadership.
What do you mean?
In a lot of areas of government right now.
What are you talking about? It's been amazing.
Honestly, we need term limits. You can't have these people who are professional politicians for 50 years. You can't do it because it's all inside.
Well, Trump wants
to get. You have to get big money out of our politics.
That's not going to happen, Dave. This is to me the biggest thing that everybody does is we end up talking about this. And in a relationship, if you're coming from two different sides of this conversation, it doesn't usually go well. Because all I wanted to say was both extremes want to change because there's like a foot in the door on how screwed up everything is and everybody's open to it. Everybody wants, okay, we're getting this. We want this, 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 and this too. And by the way, take down the Confederate statues. And then people go, what? And then other people go, I just think anything that's hollow, like a chocolate Easter bunny, should be removed. You know, that's how I look at it. But the conservatives go, once this has happened, we got to take all, we want this, 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 and this. If you want a stimulus package, you've also got to change the regulation on the internet. So what's that have to do with the guy down the street that can't pay for his kid's dinner? So that, you know, it's like everybody's got to put all this shit on the table and just sort it out so it feeds and you make concessions and both all viewpoints get hurt. But if you can move humankind forward in this country, you can not move the needle across the board on everything. That's the problem, is everybody wants everything changed.
Well, throughout our lives, they have, up until recently, and I'll say maybe 10 years, Democrats and Republicans would reach across the aisle and get things done for the citizens of the United States. Now, from the moment a president is sworn in, Democrat or Republican, the opposition party just tries to take out that president. And what happens is nothing gets done. And we, the American people, end up in the crosshairs of this bickering between two parties.
That's correct.
And until that they can come to some resolve to get things done where their focus isn't about taking down the other party. It's about how are we going to help our constituents, we, the American taxpayers. Until they reach that point, we're going to be in a real battle that you
got. I got the fix, guys. Come on, Danny, Jesse, Joey. Let's sing a song.
Let's play out. This is literally the last thing people are going to hear in 2020 on my podcast, John. So let's sing it out.
What songs do we do on Full House?
Becky, I'm sitting in a picker bus, Becky.
How about, didn't we do, you know what I played for my son the other day? I showed him a video of it. I'm sorry. Look, it was great getting serious with you guys. And I guess it's nice to hear that we have a little more than what you think we have, but it's also...
I'll edit all that out.
Yeah, I think it's good. Didn't we do... Robin and I walked along on the branches of my moon. I played that for the video of that for my son the other day. It was so beautiful.
You know, it's one of the most beautiful songs that someone talked about. I guess it's in a commercial. Is the Kermit the Frog song. Apparently it's on a commercial right now.
Rainbow Connection?
Yeah, Rainbow Connection.
That's a gorgeous song. That actually, Bernie Brillstein died, Kermit at the end sang it through the, because Bernie handled Jim Henson.
I don't know what it has to do with us singing on the
It
TV
doesn't.
Show,
I guess it would be Teddy Bear was the famous one, John. Unless you want to play the Full House theme, but it's the end of 2020. This is for the people listening. Not inside jokes about Don Vanatta, Dave, the producer.
We've been doing inside jokes for 45
I know, but people are listening to this. This is actually going to be the last podcast of 2020. And then I start 2021, which is a new year. John, why don't you play? Can you play "Auld Lang Syne"? It's just a C.
Listen.
Is that the vomiting after drinking on New Year's, Dave?
Yes.
Have we spent New Year's together, guys? We must have over the years, huh? Well, yeah, we did recently.
We can do this.
Bob would not stop kissing me.
I got to tell you, your butthole stunk.
Yeah, I got to tell you.
I got to tell you, Dolores.
Yeah. Hey, I like you. I'm going to put you on my special.
For those of you out there listening, you heard that I tried to bring it to a nice, you know, moment where we sang songs. No.
John, just play a C. Just play a C.
All right. A bouncy C?
Yeah, just a sweet C. Just a nice C. Should old acquaintance be forgot and C never brought to mind F.
Why don't we not do that one? How about?
I think that's the out. Your dog eating itself.
What about Teddy Bear? Do you guys remember that?
Yeah, hit it. Dave, crank a hand fart. Crank a big hand fart.
Can you guys hear this? Can you hear this? I'm going to play Teddy Bear.
Oh, play it, please. We got to end this. I gotta go back to, well, this is the end of the podcast. This is the end of 2020. You're closing the podcast.
What do you mean? The two of us?
Yeah, right now.
And by the way, tell them Bob and Dave and I were out of the blue. I just FaceTimed them, and then I said, "Let's get Bob," and then you said, "Hey, you want to go on our podcast?" I always think of things that the three of us should talk about when we're together like this, but I can't think of any more right now.
Well, the main thing is that people always ask, "Are you guys friends in real life?" It's like, oh, it's way past that.
This is what it was like working with these guys for all those years. Let's do a scene here, guys. Let's practice. Let's rehearse this. It'll be okay. Bob,
I do that because it makes Bob laugh every time.
I would just be talking about my dick and how I can't remember any of my lines, and they go, "Well, if you'd stop talking about your dick."
That's true. You guys are getting such trouble with the mothers and the teachers every, like, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, in retrospect, there's nothing but they laugh at it now, you know, because it always, and I was probably the worst.
Sure, those kids all turned out fine.
Well, they, you know, Fuller House is a testament to that. That was like a gift and a wonderful thing to watch them do that. That's the thing that made me happiest about the show,
they
had a little bit of a good success for them and their families.
What was the scene we were doing? It was late at night. Were we wearing tuxes and we had to walk around a van and we pulled our pants down?
Yeah.
And the moms came out, "Really, guys? Seriously?"
But we were in boxers. Yeah. I don't even understand it.
Yeah.
Well, that was my second wedding. You guys did that.
Is that what it was?
No.
That's when I married Dave on the show.
There's one episode where we were really laughing and they didn't, and they we couldn't stop laughing. Remember? And they used it. We were supposed to be laughing.
Was it a dance class?
Was it a dance class? And we were turning away.
Yeah, we were doing da 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 da. And we were doing our arms, and we literally couldn't do anything because we didn't have any dialogue. And they said, "You know, you're in the background." They're like, "What?"
Well, the one I don't think they ever got was when I asked you, Bob. Jesse ran away from home.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm talking about.
That's on the podcast with Dave that aired, you know, very last of any other dear friend.
Well, if anyone's still listening, Happy New Year. And Happy New Year to you too. I love you.
Happy New Year. Don't drink too much.
I don't know about you guys, but I don't think it's about like, oh, as soon as New Year's Day comes around, it's going to be a whole new thing. You know, it's just about what we do every day. It's the little moments that it's just how we treat each other. You know, I think I think we're going to get through this. I feel optimistic. I also think that people are better than they're being presented on the news.
I agree.
On both sides.
I agree.
And I'm not saying, but I think a lot of it's real. I think a lot of people are really hurting, but there's a lot of good people out there. And
I'm scheduled to go in the fall into Texas, and I'm looking forward to it. You know, a lot of people are going, no, they don't think, you know, the country's separated. There's many people from everywhere that feel disenfranchised, but I know that there's more good people that are not as, it's the anger that I can't take. I don't want to have it, and I know you guys don't. And Dave will only say this, Dave, that's a cue for throwing up. And Dave has...
This is New Year's Eve.
This is New Year's Eve. It's
Happy
the 31st.
And guess where
Happy
I am?
New Year's.
Guess where I am right now.
Where are you?
Just guess. Where on earth am I with my wife right now?
In your house.
With the Beach Boys.
Nope. Disney World.
Disney World's open on New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
It is for John.
So it's just,
I'm going down to, we're gonna venture out. We you know, we really needed something to look forward to, but mainly I'm going to visit a bunch of kids. They have this thing called Give Kids the World, and I'm doing a thing for that. But I'm bringing and we're gonna get through it.
And you're gonna be safe, right? You're not gonna cough on the kids. You know what Dave would do if he was around kids on New Year's Eve? Dave, go ahead.
Say that again.
That's if Dave was around kids on New Year's Eve.
Where are you guys?
I'm going to be home.
We're not doing anything.
And
I will be sober for 1 year on January 1st.
Congratulations, Dave.
Congrats, Dave.
Thank you.
Huge. The 1 year is huge. I got going on 5 now.
Yeah.
I'm going on 12 hours.
People can handle it, Bob. You've always been pretty good with it.
Yeah, but it put weight on me, and now that I drink less, I was able to lose a lot, which is good.
You look thinner to me.
Yeah, because I'm dying. But otherwise,
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. I love you guys so much.
Love you. This was
love you, and thanks all 12 of you people for sticking around to the end of this.
Yeah, it's New Year's Eve. Who the hell is going to be listening to this? Well, people don't have anything to do. Maybe they are.
This is New Year's Eve. There's a lot of people that are in. And so I really am glad you guys called me. It was not an accident, as they say. Oops. Yes, it was. I just felt it. But you guys, Dave, pretend you're crapping your pants.
Oh.
Dave, pretend like you're pulling.
He's crying now. What about
Dave, pretend like your guts after the theme of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Bob, do it.
This is enough. You're ending the show nicely, and we're doing this crap out. Sorry.
Wait, you brought it up. It's your New Year's Eve wish, John, while you're with the children in Disney World.
I wish that my son, here's what I wish. I wish my son is lucky enough to have two great friends like you two throughout his life. That he doesn't spend all my money.
I wish that for you too. And I worry that your son's best friends are going to be Dave and me.
Well, those are the bells.
I love you guys. I love you so much. Happy New Year.
Great. God bless you all. Thank you.
I love you.
God bless you. I miss you.
Miss you. Bye.
Love you. Take care of your rectum. Well, there they were, my brothers, John Stamos, Dave Coulier, brothers for life. And I want to thank everybody that called and I got to call and talk to. I'm sorry I couldn't call everybody, but I got interrupted by Jesse and Joey. What are you going to do? But that seems to me to be a beautiful flourish for this podcast that I love doing. And I've appreciated so much all of you listening. And I'm wishing you the happiest and healthiest of New Year's. I know 2020 was really hard for all of us. And my heart goes out. In all sincerity, don't roll your eyes, you sarcastic bastards. I'm meaning this heartfelt, that I'm really sorry for those of you that have had a really hard time and are still going through it. And I'm wishing you and your families lots of good health and sending lots of love out there as we go from 2020 into 2021. This is the last podcast of 2020, and tomorrow and this year is a new day. And a new dawn, as a poet would say. I don't think a poet uses the word dawn, do they? I do it in a script, you know, exterior dawn. And then I show dishwashing liquid. Okay, my last dad joke of 2020. Lots of love to you guys. Happy New Year. Talk to you next year on Bob Saget's Here For You.